We're back. Episode 8 of Not the Jordan Show. Inspired by Manchester City personally delivering Erik ten Hag his P45 last Sunday. And our last ever match against Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool, in the league at least, this weekend. Now this episode is all about managers. And to go through the clubs looking for them and who they might get, I've got Ehsan with me. Ehsan, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Jordan, good afternoon. I'm doing very well. How are you doing, sir?
I'm very well, mate. I'm very well. I feel like I've got a new wave of optimism over the past few days because I'm not sure whether it's coincidental with City beating United and Manchester once again being declared blue, but the gloom of the grey of Manchester has been lifted. And I think I've seen the sky for the first time in about 6 months.
Excellent.
It's been lovely. It's been really nice here. Now, I know that's not something that you typically battle with over in Ibiza, but it's made a big difference to my mood, I have to say.
Splendid. I mean, I guess the derby will have helped as well. Slapping the rags always lifts whatever gloom is around town.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get into whether we have actually delivered Ten Hag's P45 a little bit later on. But I thought this would be a good discussion point because we're at a very interesting stage with regards to managers. There are three top clubs who have already told us that they will be appointing a new manager for next season. And also, like United, there are a number of clubs who could join them. There's also quite a few decent options on the market. It feels like there are more rated managers on the market at the moment than there usually is. Often when clubs look to sack their manager, the first thing that people say is, well, who would you get to replace them? Who's out there? And it actually feels like there's quite a few names on the market. Meanwhile, as City fans, I mean, we've not given up hope that Pep decides to extend his contract, but he will have just 12 months left on his City deal this summer. So I think it's fair to look at what life after Pep might look like at City, as much as we don't really want to. But I think we should start off there because I think it frames the discussion quite nicely. What is your gut telling you with regards to Guardiola? Do you think he will extend and stay for at least a 10th year? Or do you think that next season is the end?
So if you'd have asked me this 6 months ago, I'd have said, oh, in fact, if you'd have asked me any point last summer or during the first half of this season, I'd have said no, he definitely goes in the summer of 25. But I've changed my opinion quite significantly. And strangely, it was when he was asked about Klopp that I kind of realized, oh, okay, so his head isn't there yet. So I don't know if you remember, they asked him, you know, Klopp's talked about how tired he is and the fatigue and the pressure. How do you feel? And Guardiola said, more or less, I feel great. I feel fine. And I think that one of the things that I see with Pep is that what drives him is not yesterday's achievement, it's tomorrow's potential achievement. And I think that that challenge of constantly having to go again is actually something that he relishes. Now, I think it's a lot easier to relish that when you're coming at it from a point of position of power like Pep is, where he's won four of the last five Premier League titles. He has achieved so much, even if it has been under massive pressure. And I think that's something that I would definitely don't think enough is made of. There have been very few title challenges that City have had that have been parades or cakewalks. The 100-point season, for me, is the outlier. Every other title challenge has been incredibly intense almost until the very end. And so there has continually been pressure for Guardiola to keep the standards high behind the scenes. And I think that's a little bit what drives him. I think the other thing that makes me think that he will stay is the evolution of the team. I think that we're seeing a new evolution of this team, and we're seeing new players coming in, and we're seeing existing players emerge into leaders. And I think that it's something where I can fully envisage that Guardiola long before this time next season, this autumn, so the autumn of 2024, I can fully see him feeling like, you know what? I've still got a lot of things to do and a lot of things to achieve. And I think the final thing is about legacy. I think that Pep's legacy will be defined by his time at City, not by his time at Barcelona or Bayern Munich. And I think that whilst his dominance in the Premier League is incredible and the work that he's done is incredible outside of British shores, it'll be the Champions League that defines his legacy. And so having the opportunity, I think he'll want to win the Champions League again with City. I don't think he's tired. I think he is going to extend again. And quite frankly, I've now decided that I wouldn't want to put a pin in where I think his reign will end. I don't think he'll do the 20 years that Ferguson did, but I don't think it's out of the realms of possibility that he's here with us for another 4 years, for example.
Well, I really hope that you're right. I think your arguments all make sense, and I can see why you would come to that conclusion. I think it's difficult for us to imagine a City now without Pep, because he has been here for so long. I mean, I think he became City manager when I was 20. I'm almost 28 now. It's just something that we've gotten used to. And particularly when there isn't really much chat about where City will go after Pep, it's very hard to envisage what that world looks like. The thing is, with Pep, we are by far the club at which he spent the longest time. I think he stayed at Barca for 5 years, maybe six. Bayern for three. In the past, he's obviously had a sabbatical after the Barcelona stint. He's spoken about not wanting to be on the touchline all of his life. He wants to be on the golf course. Whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. He strikes me as a bit of an obsessive who would probably take a year out and then be like, do you know what? I actually miss it. So we'll see on that front. I guess now we're none the wiser. We've not really had any indication that Pep is going to leave. We've also not had any indication really that he's going to stay. But I definitely share your positive sentiments and optimism with regards to him staying in that answer about Klopp, him saying that he's fine. And also the structure at City is just perfectly geared up for him to succeed. He will never have a club environment like he has at City.
No.
His mates are the directors and the CEO of the club. We worship him. His job would never be under threat. It's a perfect environment for him to stay and succeed. It's just 10 years is a long time. Or 9 years in Manchester is a long time for someone that's not from the city and, you know, might not have the same affinity for it as we do.
But football is his life. I think one of the things that it's a little bit like touring musicians, right? So the Rolling Stones have been going for how long? And they still tour. Why do they tour? Because it's their life. It's their purpose. It's what they do. And I think that for Pep, when he hangs up coaching, I just feel as though it's something that even though he's said so many times, like, oh, well, I will never go as long as Ferguson. That's not who I am. I'm going to retire to the golf course, all that sort of business. I think the reality is he's a football obsessive. Football drives him. Football's his world, his legacy. So, and he's at the top of his game. I think more than tiredness, more than burnout, more than the idea of, oh, I've been away from my family for so long. I think that for Guardiola, it'll probably be the ego of being replaced that he will fear that he will walk away before. So what I mean by replaced is eventually a coach is going to come along who is going to challenge Pep's primacy as the undisputed best coach on the planet. People will say Klopp did that, but he didn't. I don't think he really came close to challenging the primacy of what Guardiola, what he does as a coach, and not just the way he improves players, the way he improves teams and all of that stuff. And I wonder whether the idea of going out on top will maybe decide at some point that he goes, you know what, this summer of winning everything is the moment at which I walk away. But the point is that he won't take another club job. So if he's not going to take another club job, he said he would like to be a national team coach, but there's just not enough. I don't think there's enough there for him on the day-to-day for me to be able to look at Pep right now and go, yeah, you know what? He's ready to go and take an international job. He's too obsessed with the day-to-day of football to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you're right. I want him to stay for as long as possible. I don't want to ever imagine City without him. Unfortunately, it will be a reality one day. And we're going to put ourselves through a bit of pain now and just try to imagine what it would be like. So Liverpool are one of the teams that we're going to talk about in detail. They're said to be going with a data-driven approach to identify Jurgen Klopp's replacement. How would you expect City to go about replacing Pep? Would you expect them to follow data and try and identify a manager who plays a similar system to Pep now? Or would you expect them to go with the more, I don't know, the word holistic comes to mind when we appointed Pellegrini and tried to find the right fit from a man management and culture side of things for the squad?
So, firstly, I think that you have to acknowledge that Pellegrini was somebody who laid the groundwork for Guardiola football. It wasn't just a case of him coming in and being a nice fella or being not Roberto Mancini. Obviously, he was both of those things. But more importantly, he had the basics of positional play, the basics of the high line. He had the basic principles of what Pep wanted to do. I think the footballing style will be key to who the next manager is or what the next appointment is. In terms of data, I don't think that City are data obsessives in the way that the Scousers under FSG are. They obviously almost let the numbers decide everything. Whereas I expect that City would take a more balanced view, which is that, yes, you look at the numbers, but you also ring the people you know that have worked under that manager or worked with that manager and say, what's he like as a fella? What's his day-to-day like around the place? Is he a nice guy? What's the personality like? How easy or difficult is he with the players? I think you have to take an incredibly rounded approach, because the problem with data is that Erik ten Hag, from a data point of view, ticked the same boxes for Manchester United that Xabi Alonso ticks, or Ruben Amorim ticks, or Graham Potter ticked when he left Brighton for Chelsea. You're talking about that. I think one of the interesting things is that I think that there's a small group of clubs in the world that are unique in how you manage them. And it's almost impossible to predict how a coach will do. So that would be Liverpool, City, United, Chelsea, Bayern Munich, Inter Milan, Real Madrid, Barcelona, and PSG. And actually, you can take Inter Milan out of that because I don't think the Italian sides have that pressure. But all those other clubs I've mentioned, they have a pressure to win immediately. And so you can have all the data in the world. So right now, when people are analyzing Ruben Amorim, for example, he's the hot name on everybody's lips, right? So when you go and look at the data, his football team, highest XG in the Portuguese league, lowest XGC in the Portuguese league, most shots on goal in the Portuguese league, most touches in the opposition box, every kind of attacking metric that you want to look at, defensive metric that you want to look at, everything, all the data that would make you go, he's the guy, he's ticking all of those boxes. The problem is, Erik ten Hag ticked all of those boxes when he was Ajax coach, but you still don't know how that is going to translate when you then drop it into the unforgiving environment of a Premier League club under the magnifying glass of being considered one of the top four. And that's where Liverpool are, that's where United are, and that's where City are. So there is no magic wand, and there is, I don't think there's a predictor that can go, that guy is definitely going to succeed.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes, and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.